It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
And happy Monday, folks. Matt Barber in today for Sandy Rios in the morning. I am co-founder and general counsel of Christian Civil Rights Watch. Our website, truecivilrights.org, truecivilrights.org. We are a group of Christian legal watchmen who educate, we communicate, and where necessary, we litigate, and we are proactively fighting to restore justice for faithful Bible believers' constitutionally protected civil rights here in the U.S., and we fulfill the mandate of God's Word to leave a legacy of religious free exercise for current and future generations of Christ followers. And folks, after the events of last week, we are poised, we are in a position right now, I believe, in this country to actually start seeing the restoration of many of our Christian civil rights that have been under attack at unprecedented levels throughout the halls of Congress, certainly under a President Barack Obama, under liberals in the U.S. Senate and in Congress, and under previously an imbalanced United States Supreme Court with the now preparing to retire Justice Anthony Kennedy acting as the swing vote on what's really a 4-4 court, but ruling on social issues relative to the issue of the sanctity of human life and on certainly the demands of the Radical Homosexual Activist Lobby and the creating out of thin air this oxymoronic notion of so-called gay marriage and just making up whole cloth some kind of constitutional right, some phantom constitutional right that doesn't exist. We have seen this man retire now, and President Trump is poised to appoint an originalist, a strict constructionist, somebody who will actually interpret the law and not legislate from the bench, which we have seen Justice Kennedy with some of the craziest decisions that he has written and these notions of the universe and happiness and just some really kind of wacky stuff. We now have an opportunity, I think, with President Trump to restore some balance to the court where we actually have folks in interpreting the law, funneling laws through the prism of the U.S. Constitution as it was intended and founded, and we have a chance to see again the restoration of many of our Christian civil rights that have been eroding here in the U.S. to see potentially even, and of course this is the rub, this is why the recall last Wednesday, I mean this is a about a 10 on the political Richter scale with the announcement by Justice Kennedy that he was going to retire. And President Trump saying that he is going to announce Justice Kennedy's replacement on a week from today, on next Monday, on the 9th, in plenty of time. And Senator McConnell, the majority leader, has said that he will bring a vote to the floor to confirm for the Senate to do their duty, which is simply to advise and consent, to do their duty to appoint to seat that fifth conservative justice. A lot of speculation as to who that will be. President Trump has said that it will be one of the individuals from his list of about 25, a lot of great names on that list. And that list was vetted, was prepared in large part by folks over at the Heritage Foundation. And President Trump, I think is hopefully is going to appoint somebody again who recognizes that their job is not to make law, is not to use that incredible position of power in order to try to become a social change agent, like sadly the justices, the four remaining very liberal justices do. Justice Ginsburg, Sotomayor, Kagan, and Breyer, they are radical liberals. They view their and abuse their position on the Supreme Court in order to try to influence social change by pushing whatever their opinions may be, so progressive dogma and progressive opinions, instead of doing what the conservative justices on the court, or as they're called conservative, often pejoratively in the mainstream media, really they're just originalists. They're just folks that are going to interpret the Constitution. They're interpreting the law, and hopefully, and God willing, we're going to have a fifth justice now, originalist justice on the court, which cannot be understated. And that's why I want to talk about this issue today, because it really is probably the biggest single political event that has happened in decades, with the opportunity now for the balance of the court to change in a favorable way, and for public policy now for decades to come to be influenced, to return, rather than heading down this path to perdition that our nation has been on, wherein these justices and these community organizers, and you know, never forget President Obama, we're going to fundamentally transform America, in you know, and that being into a more Euro socialist United States, secular humanist United States that is unrecognizable, that our founding fathers would look at today and say, what has happened to the great experiment here? Whether we have gone wrong. We're actually in a position now to return, at least to head back, to do an about face. We've been heading toward cliff's edge. Now we're prepared to do an about face and head back. But, I mean, you know, there have been folks appointed, Republican presidents have appointed some of these so-called Republicans that have ended up being the most liberal, Kennedy among him, Breyer and others that are these liberal activists. So this is a critical moment in time, and President Trump has a major decision. He says, and according to Bloomberg, over the weekend, Saturday, Bloomberg came out with a piece that Trump does a deep dive on the high court finalists before his July 9th pick. Says he's looking at his finalists include two women, that the five top candidates are said to be sitting federal appeals court judges right now. There can be little question that whoever President Trump picks, they will be eminently qualified. I think that's one of the things he has said. He said they're going to be kind of intellectual powerhouses. They're going to be eminently qualified, have the bona fides to take the seat in such a way that really no one reasonably could oppose them as a justice, but for that the one major hang up, really two, being Roe v. Wade. The left is apoplectic. Their right of abortion, and by right I mean R-I-T-E, they worship at the altar of abortion, and they're concerned about stare decisis. The courts recognizing and honoring previous decisions. You know, decisions like Dred Scott. These same justices, these same Democrats, or these same liberals and liberal Democrats that are the party of slavery, they opposed, you know, freeing the slaves. We fought a civil war over it, right? So they're big into, you know, hey, the Supreme Court has already ruled on this. It's settled law. So they're saying that because since 1973, 60 million babies have been slaughtered here in the U.S. under this great, just scar on American history, this Roe v. Wade decision. That is the hill they want to die on. And any justice who even has an inkling, any nominee that even appears to be in a position where they may, as they're saying, overturn Roe v. Wade or even chip away at it, even erode it. They are going to stomp their feet. They're going to yell. They're going to scream. You have all these leftists demanding that we wait until after the midterm elections, demanding, some of them saying, how can a president who's under criminal investigation appoint a Supreme Court justice? Well, nonsense. President Trump is not under criminal investigation. He's not even the target of the investigation. Robert Mueller himself has said as much. And for the non-existent crime of collusion to something, there's not even a crime being investigated here, except now they're trying to go the obstruction of justice route. They're demanding that we wait. Well, you know, the Democrats' demands and $4.50 will get you a frappuccino ding dong at Starbucks. You know, that's about it. So they could demand till they're blue in the face, but true progress marches on, and we're moving forward toward this June 9th announcement of the next justice. And on Saturday, Bloomberg reports that President Trump engaged into a deep dive into the backgrounds of these top prospects, particularly these top five prospects from his Bedminster, New Jersey private golf club there. And they like to get that in, don't they? And they said that he's there spending his weekend with family, but is engaging in extensive conversations by phone with his White House counsel, Don McGahn, to get some insights from Don McGahn on who the best pick will be. And I got to say here, I mean, it's on the wire. It's on the edge. There are a couple Republican senators that I think are, you know, they're pro-abortion, and they're certainly going to be looking to see that President Trump does not appoint somebody who is has overtly spoken out against Roe v. Wade. But, again, there's very little they can do. And there are some Democrats right now that are red state Democrats that are in a vulnerable, very vulnerable position. Particularly three Democrats. I think it's Senators Joe Manchin, right, out of West Virginia, up for re-election in 2018. Joe Donnelly of Indiana and Heidi Heitkamp of North Dakota. And don't forget, these three Democrats recognizing the danger of being viewed as obstructionists, which the Democrat Party is the obstructionist party, and they have signaled they are going to obstruct relative to this next Supreme Court appointment, that they don't want to be viewed in these very red states as obstructionists. They all sided and voted for President Trump's nominee, Justice Neil, his last appointment, Gorsuch. And as long as President Trump's nominee walks the line through the confirmation hearings, they're going to say things like, I can't comment on any case that might come before the court. You've always heard that one. Oh, I have the greatest respect for stare decisis. And they can thread the needle, whoever it is. And we'll talk about some of the potential candidates here after the break. But whoever this person is, we know how these confirmation hearings go. They're political theater. They're a lot of show. The Dianne Feinstein will show her anti-Christian bigotry, and they'll stomp their feet and yell and scream and talk about the constitutional right to reproductive health care, and that's what this is going to be all about. And President Trump's appointment will, I think, all the people on that he's got here kind of in the bullpen, any of them will be able to thread that needle and tread lightly on this issue of Roe v. Wade. Matt Barber in for Sandy Rios. You're listening to Sandy Rios in the Morning. Sandy will be back in tomorrow. Don't go away. We're going to be right back after the break.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. You know, we only go to the Holy Land once a year, and that's in March. Last year, we filled up several months in advance. So if you want to go in March of 2019, it's time to look at the details. You can get a brochure from us at 800-FAMILIES, 1-800-FAMILIES, option 5, and leave us your name and your telephone number, or go to twholyland.com, twholyland.com. It's going to be a wonderful time in Israel. We'll go to the Sea of Galilee, the Jordan River, the Holy City of Jerusalem, Bethlehem, Masada, the Dead Sea, and on the list goes. If you'd like to go with us in March of 2019, all the information is available at twholyland.com. Order a brochure by calling 800-FAMILIES, option 5.
Come join Sandy Rios for a walk back in time when she was a young grieving mom, discovering firsthand how God's strength is made perfect in weakness. The music of Sasha's song, Sandy Rios' first album project, is a reminder of God's faithfulness.
Would God sustain us through the years?
Produced by John Ennis of the Billy Graham Crusade with members of the Indianapolis Orchestra, this beautiful music will lift your heart.
Like peering through a window blurred with rain, emotions run together in a flood of doubt and pain. For He is able.
Available on CD at afastore.net.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
Truett McConnell University.
So my name is Atara. I'm a senior and my major is psychology. I love Truett. There may be a lot of other schools out there. You can go to bigger schools. You can go to schools that's way far away from home. But in the end, one of the things that I realized is that God called me here, and that's why Truett is the perfect place for me. And if God called you here, then it's the perfect place for you also.
Are you called? Visit truett.edu today.
The First Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas, paid a billboard company to advertise its Faith and Freedom service. The ad included the phrase, "America is a Christian Nation," the name of Pastor Robert Jeffress' sermon. Dallas Morning News columnist Robert Walonsky was stuck in traffic the other day, saw the sign. He was immediately triggered. Mayor Mike Rawlings was also offended by the message, suggesting it was hateful and divisive. Word got back to the company that owns the billboards, and they quickly removed the church's advertisement. Outfront Media says the idea of America being a Christian nation is anger-provoking. But there's good news for the First Baptist Church. Turns out another billboard company offered to put the church's message up on 20 billboards, not 2. In other words, Mr. Walonsky might want to find another way to work, or else be prepared for another microaggression. I'm Todd Starnes.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
And we're back. Matt Barber in today for Sandy Rios. Thanks for listening in, folks. Talking about the political story of the decade here. Justice Anthony Kennedy sending shockwaves last week on Wednesday, just announcing that he was going to be stepping down very soon here, I think at the end of July. President Trump has announced he will share with the world his pick for Justice Kennedy's replacement a week from today, Monday. And then the first week of the first Monday in October begins the fall session of the Supreme Court. And Mitch McConnell and Republicans are saying, "Hey, we're going to get this new justice sat on the bench so that he or she can get to work." And that's exciting. Exciting if you happen to be an originalist, a constitutionalist like I am, somebody who wants to see Supreme Court justices do their jobs and not engage in judicial activism. And the Heritage Foundation has a really great definition of judicial activism. It says judicial activism occurs when judges write subjective policy preferences into the law rather than apply the law impartially according to its original meaning. That definition fits to a T, describes one of the, apart from maybe Dred Scott or Buck v. Bell, the Dred Scott decision, you know, saying that, that African Americans are only 3/5 human beings. Yes, our United States Supreme Court actually ruled that, that slavery was permissible. Yep, the U.S. Supreme Court, if we're going by, that was settled law, you know, back in the day, right? That was settled law. Well, the most shameful decision in U.S. history has been the Roe v. Wade decision, January 22nd, 1973, with Justice Harry Blackmun and the court there finding for the first time that the U.S. Constitution somehow guaranteed this phantom right for a mother to hire a doctor to slice her living child through excruciating torture into bits and pieces, right, and have that child summarily killed. A shameful day that has lived in infamy and now actually is in jeopardy. That decision is in jeopardy. Hence, this the heads exploding across the country of lefties saying, you know, trying every possible tactic they can to stall, to obstruct, to deny this president his constitutional right to appoint and to try to encourage every Democrat senator and even a couple of the pro-abortion Republicans to do whatever it takes to trip up this president and keep him from appointing a justice who might abort the Roe v. Wade decision. And that's the only abortion that I support, is aborting that that shameful, sinful, evil decision. So am I hoping that this next justice is among their peers with a group of five that recognizes that there's no constitutional basis whatsoever for Roe v. Wade, that the 14th Amendment, that the U.S. Constitution, in fact, guarantees a right to life. Don't forget our Declaration of Independence. We are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, among them life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, life being chief among them. Without life, then, you know, it's kind of hard to have to pursue happiness or to have liberty. These are our most innocent and vulnerable U.S. citizens here, people ingestate in the womb, young children. I talk about ripping children away from their mothers, right? Literally ripping them into pieces and discarding them like so much garbage in a big red bio waste container. This is the America that we have a chance now to overturn and really to set the table and lead by example for the rest of the world. So President Trump is looking at potentially five, Bloomberg is reporting, according to a person familiar with the process, right? Don't you love how they throw out those kind of random? A person familiar with the process said Friday that the White House officials were focused primarily on five federal appeals court justices: Brett Kavanaugh, Amy Coney Barrett, Thomas Hardiman, Raymond Kethledge, and Amul Thapar. I will just say personally, of those five and of the 25, I've got a favorite. I think that a number of them would be great. And once President Trump makes the announcement, he no doubt is under tremendous pressure. He knows that it was the evangelical base that got him elected, and that it is this issue of the Supreme Court. If he appoints a good originalist to the court, to the high court, we know that will motivate the base to get out and vote, because in the bullpen right now, she could retire any day. Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, 85 years old. God bless her. She has pancreatic cancer. Her health is waning. She could step down. She's hanging on, but you know, potentially there we got at least six more years of President Trump here, and that's a lot of time for Ruth Bader Ginsburg. So that there's going to be, you know, a razor thin margin with a 5-4 kind of originalist voting block is not secure. Amy Coney Barrett is probably my favorite potential candidate so far. There are a number of National Review and a number of other conservative, the Federalist and some others are writing some great pieces, kind of touting her as a potential, as a great pick, as a shrewd pick. I think it would be brilliant for President Trump. She is. She's currently, of course, just went through the meat grinder very recently, actually, when President Trump nominated her and she was confirmed to the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals. She's an appeals, a federal appeals court justice now. 46 years old, a young, attractive woman, a mother of seven, Catholic, evidently devout Catholic. You'll recall Dianne Feinstein bashing her from her perch, ivory perch there during the hearings, just bashing her and hitting her with anti-Catholic, anti-Christian stereotypes, talking about the separation of church and state, something that's nowhere to be found in the Constitution. And during her questioning, she said, you'll recall, she kind of said that, her Catholic faith, Barrett's Catholic faith, that it was had a kind of a long history as a dog whistle for overturning Roe v. Wade, just the mere fact that she's a Catholic. And she said, the dogma lives loudly within you. The dogma, right? The Catholic, the Christian dogma. You know, what a asinine, hateful thing to say. She said, dogma and law are two different things. I think whatever a religion is, it has its own dogma. The law is totally different. Well, nonsense. The idea being there, of course, that Christianity and the United States Constitution are at odds, which is utter baloney. The Christian faith, which says thou shalt not kill. Guess what? Our Constitution embraces that same public policy, if you will. She topped it off with her showing her form of bias. Why is it that so many of us on this side have this very uncomfortable feeling, she said, of Amy Coney Barrett, an esteemed former professor, law professor at Notre Dame, a world-renowned law school, but a Catholic law school nonetheless. So Dianne Feinstein and the left, so they would go utterly apoplectic. But let's be clear here. Whoever President Trump names next Monday, the left is going to go berserk. They're going to lose their collective noodle. They are going to fight tooth and nail. You're going to see the Twitter sphere light up as it already has. I've just been looking at SCOTUS and Supreme Court on Twitter. And the left, just what's amazing to me is this theme, this constant theme that President Trump, he's got to be stopped. He can't appoint. He's under criminal investigation. He's going to spend the rest of his life in prison, in jail. It just shows you how deluded, how out of touch with reality these people are, the left is right now. And the mainstream media fanning the flames, giving them this false hope that Mueller is their knight in shining armor, that he's going to come out now and indict President Trump, and he's going to go to the gulag for his collusion with Russia, and demanding that, Democrat senators, you have to do something. Well, there's not a thing you can do, folks. It's progress, the road to progress. We are moving forward toward real progress here in the United States. And yes, you are absolutely right. Roe v. Wade is in the crosshairs. Your 45 years of murdering babies, God willing, may be coming to a close here in the next two or three years, at least with under the guise of some kind of constitutional protection or authority. This phantom constitutional right, again, for people to kill their children. And since the horrible Roe decision, where they cited, even though the court kind of said, oh, well, the science is really not clear. It's unsettled when life begins. It's kind of subjective. So we're going to err on the side of privacy rights for women rather than, as you do in any normal situation, embracing the evidence and erring on the side of protecting innocence and protecting life. They said, no, a woman's right to convenience and to kill her baby supersedes the right of that undeniable human being, that human life, just in an early stage of development, and that right to convenience outweighs the right to life. But since that time, we've seen an endless string of misguided women and innocent children being slaughtered and victimized by this Roe decision that they call choice. But now we know the science is clear. With 4D science, they like to talk about settled science. They like to talk about settled law. The settled science is, and the settled law is, or rather the settled science, at least, that life begins at an inception. There could be no question. So it's not a, we even have, again, federal law here in the U.S., Connor's Law, which you'll remember Scott Peterson, Lacey Peterson, Connor Peterson, well, he was charged with double homicide for murdering Lacey Peterson and her child intestate, Connor Peterson, and was charged with a double homicide. We even have federal law where if you kill a woman or severely injure a woman and the baby dies, that's murder. But yet that same woman can go down that same day down the street into an abortion clinic and have that child legally murdered. It doesn't make any sense. It's incongruous. That's the insanity that is Roe v. Wade. But that's where we are. Going to take your calls in the next break. I want to go ahead and give the number out now, 888-589-8840, over in the next segment, I should say, 888-589-8840. Give me a call. Tell me what you think. Are you excited? Are you worried? Or what do you think the week ahead holds? What do you think the month or two ahead holds? I believe they'll get this this next justice confirmed by the first Monday in October, the fall session of the U.S. Supreme Court. It makes sense. It's reasonable. It's we don't need a 4-4 court, and that's why we have nine justices. What are your thoughts? Another blight on American history, and one that Justice Kennedy, who's stepping down. I keep hearing all these accolades for Justice Kennedy. I'm sure he's a decent guy. I don't know him, but he's been engaged in some of the worst decisions in Supreme Court history, in the history of the high court. Chief among them being, I already mentioned, his voting to uphold Roe v. Wade, but also the Obergefell decision, where the U.S. Supreme Court they suffered a major credibility blow. Just kind of unilaterally, arbitrarily, deciding in the 5-4 Obergefell v. Hodges gay marriage opinion, they presumed the impossible. They redefined the age-old institution of natural marriage to give this fictional definition that a man can marry a man or a woman can marry a woman precedence over our freedoms that are actually enumerated in the Bill of Rights, right? Gay marriage, let's be honest, it cannot coexist with religious liberty. And we've already seen the tension with the Baker case and so forth with Jack Phillips. And I think Justice Kennedy, at least on his way out, and tried to right some of the wrongs that he is engaged in for, again, finding this non-existent, divining this constitutional right for, as I often say, for Patrick Henry to marry Henry Patrick, something that our founding fathers couldn't have even conceptualized it, much less believe that there was a constitutional right for people two men or two women to marry, to engage in the sin, dare not speak its name, what they call crimes against nature. Yeah, that's exactly what Justice Kennedy did. So I'm glad to see the man go, and I'm glad to see President Trump poised to replace him with someone who's going to actually interpret the U.S. Constitution as it was intended, as our founding fathers intended. Exciting times, folks. Give us a call, 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Want to have you weigh in? What do you think? Again, are you as excited as I am? I'm ecstatic, and frankly, I take a little joy. It's horrible. Lord forgive me, in watching the left just lose its mind. Matt Barber in for Sandy Rios. Don't go away. We'll pick up on the flip side.
Immediately, he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowds. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. Here, Jesus instructed his disciples to cross a lake and meet him on the other side of it. As they went, they were met by a violent windstorm that halted their progress. Often in our Christian lives, we receive clear instruction from the Lord, only to be met by an obstacle that halts our progress. We must, however, recognize that the onset of a storm does not cancel out God's instructions. Halted progress does not equal denied destination. When Jesus directed the disciples to go to the other side, he absolutely meant for them to get there. Delay does not equal denial.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
In a democratic republic such as America, the hard work of democracy is done by the people. At the Values Voter Summit in Washington, D.C., September 21st through the 23rd, you'll be equipped to take up the battle for human life, strong religious liberty, and thriving families by strong conservative leaders. The Values Voter Summit is sponsored in part by AFA Action. Visit valuesvotersummit.org to register and obtain more information about the summit. That's valuesvotersummit.org.
This is where I often say that the Word of God is not meant merely to be consumed. The question is not how many scripture you can retain. The question is how much scripture can you use.
Now, thoroughly enjoy the Hamilton Corner. It's a bright light, just a priceless information, and God's Word is so needed.
Tune in to the Hamilton Corner, weekday afternoons at 5 Central on American Family Radio.
Netflix continues to ignore the outcry about 13 Reasons Why. The American Family Association, along with Parents Television Council and several other pro-family groups, have reached out to the streaming service urging the cancellation of their program. Netflix has not even responded to our letter. Instead, they released an even more vile Season 2 and are producing Season 3. Netflix CEO Reed Hastings says their program is engaging and that it fosters discussion of taboo topics like suicide and sexual assault. But at what cost? 14-year-old Anna Bright and several other teens have committed suicide after watching the show. Hastings calls our objections propaganda. Does he feel the profitability of his company is worth more than the lives damaged or lost because of his show? Please sign our petition to Netflix, learn more, and share our action alert when you visit AFA.net. And pray Reed Hastings will recognize the dangers of 13 Reasons Why.
This is Frank Gaffney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Andres Manuel Lopez Obrador isn't an easy name for Americans to remember, but the victor in yesterday's Mexican presidential election is universally known by his acronym, which is easily recalled since AMLO rhymes appropriately with uh-oh. Despite AMLO's assurances that he seeks a respectful and cooperative relationship with the United States, that seems highly unlikely. After all, he is a radical leftist in the mold of Venezuela's Hugo Chavez, whose disastrous legacy we don't want next door. And he considers Mexican and other migration to the U.S. to be a human right. He'll facilitate a formula for mass penetration of our border. We need a wall. Until we get it built, security would be greatly enhanced by quickly turning back on Blue Servo's highly effective virtual fence along the Texan border and expanding it to illegals' major crossing points elsewhere. This is Frank Gaffney.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Welcome back. Matt Barber in today for Sandy Rios, talking about this cataclysmic, really wonderful event that occurred on Wednesday when Justice Kennedy announced he was retiring. He's stepping down, and President Trump is going to have his second of potentially three or maybe even four. Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg is 85, has pancreatic cancer. Of course, we don't wish any ill on her. Pray for her recovery and good health. But nonetheless, she may likely be on her way out the door. Justice Breyer is, I think, about to turn 80. And, you know, President Trump here is going to get his second Supreme Court justice appointed to the bench. And there's very, very little, if anything, that Democrats can do. Certainly, there's nothing they can do without the help of at least one or two of the pro-abortion Republicans. And as the Washington Times reports, if Republicans hold firm, the Senate is likely to vote on a Supreme Court nominee just as the midterm campaign season hits full stride after Labor Day. Also means vulnerable Democrats in states such as West Virginia and North Dakota will have to choose between a president who easily won their states in 2016 and a frenzied liberal base intent on blocking anyone he chooses. And let's be clear here. Anybody that President Trump chooses, he could, Mike Huckabee said Trump could choose Moses himself and the left would go apoplectic and fight it. And that's, I would take it further. I mean, anybody, Jesus himself, if he were picked and appointed to the bench, the left would oppose it. So that's gonna happen. They're gonna stomp their feet and scream and froth at the mouth and demand that we wait until after the midterm elections and so forth and so on. But it's not going to happen. Progress is moving forward, and it's just so gratifying to sit back and watch. And again, Lord forgive me, I'm taking pleasure in watching the gnashing of teeth on the left as they recognize their prized, their precious phantom constitutional right to rip children limb from limb in their mother's womb as they see that face logically, legally, morally face the chopping block, literally. And so taking your calls, folks, 888-589-8840. Going to go to Tara Lisa in Arkansas. Welcome to Sandy Rios in the Morning. What's on your mind?
Hi, we're talking about the abortion issue, and I wish I could find some Bible study on that to show it. But my thing is, what about, I always think about this, plants. When we put plants in the ground with a seed, and, you know, before they start to grow, we know they're going to grow. So what's the difference in a baby seed and a plant seed? If we snuff out all the plants before they can have a chance to come up, we won't have any food, trees, or anything.
Well, that's right. I mean, and thanks for the call. We value life, right? And how much greater is the life of a God's creation, his prized creation, mankind, that he created in his image and likeness, that are imbued, given by God a soul, a precious soul. C.S. Lewis said, you don't have a soul. You are a soul. You have a body. So abortion, homicide, and that's what it is. It is murder. It is homicide. It fits by definition. It is the taking of an innocent human life without due process. We value life in this country. And since 1973, we have not. We have embraced a culture of death. And the left, the Democrat Party and the hard left, they embrace that culture of death, and they are going to do everything they can. They now see, at a time unprecedented since the Roe v. Wade decision, there is a greater threat to their phantom right to kill babies than we have seen at any time. And President Trump is going to have to play it smart. Whoever he picks, again, I'm kind of leaning toward Judge Amy Barrett out of Amy Coney Barrett, Seventh Circuit, 46 years old, Catholic, 7 kids, but just a great track record, a brilliant mind, brilliant jurist, impeccably and eminently qualified for the bench. No one can argue that. Her ratings are through the roof. Everything is great. The only issue, again, well, the only two really, Obergefell and Roe v. Wade. And that, you know, there was, we talk about, they're going to talk about precedent and stare decisis and honoring and settled law. Well, the same Democrats argued in favor of precedent and stare decisis and settled law back in the days of slavery. The party of slavery argued that the Dred Scott decision shouldn't be overturned. It was. And at the time, you know, the newspapers, even the Chicago Tribune, after the Dred Scott decision had a scathing assessment. They said, "We must confess we are shocked at the violence and servility of the judicial revolution caused by the decision of the Supreme Court of the United States. We scarcely know how to express our detestation of its inhuman dicta or to fathom the wicked consequences which may flow from it. This decision has sapped this Constitution of its glorious and distinctive features and seeks to pervert it into a barbarous and unchristian channel. Jefferson feared this Supreme Court and foretold its usurpation of the legislative power of the federal government. His prophecy is now reality. The terrible evil he dreaded is upon us." And folks, that might as well have been written not about Dred Scott. That could have been written about Roe v. Wade. Is that fitting or what? And here's the problem. Roe v. Wade, the Obergefell decision, again, which defied natural law and presumed to deconstruct and redefine the institution of marriage, something that man cannot do, you know, no more so than if Justice Kennedy had said, I hold now that the laws of gravity are in violation of the U.S. Constitution. So we're going to redefine gravity. Folks, if you jump off a cliff, you have a constitutional right not to plummet to your death. That's how asinine it was to invent this artificial notion of marriage, that a man can marry a man or a woman can marry a woman. And these are illegitimate decisions that I think will and shall be rightly overturned. And President Trump is poised to appoint that justice to make that fifth vote. They'll chip away at it. I don't think they're going to do it overnight. I think they'll be clever about it. But the goal being to undermine Roe v. Wade until it undermine it into nothingness, to undermine the Obergefell decision, to sew up and secure Christian civil rights, our freedom of religious expression, and that our enumerated First Amendment rights trump this newfangled notion of so-called gay rights and what they call marriage equality. Well, I live in marriage reality, and I know you do too, and marriage is between a man and a woman. So there are, one or more ways that a Supreme Court can legitimately overturn a previous case or change effectively a rule that a law is unconstitutional. There are five steps. There has to be a clear reading of the U.S. Constitution. There has to be some prior court precedent that would lean the court in that direction. With Obergefell, with Roe v. Wade, neither of those things were true. There has to be history in the common law, our cultural customs, our traditions, or some other law enacted by Congress. Well, with Roe v. Wade, with Obergefell, as with Dred Scott, the court ignored all of those steps and engaged in pure judicial activism. Going now to Lucy in Tennessee. Lucy, welcome to Sandy Rios in the Morning. What's on your mind?
Good morning, Matt. I called in about Justice Kennedy. To me, I am a sinner. He's a sinner. But he, just by his vote on abortion, killed more babies than Hitler did during the Holocaust. And by his vote on gay marriage or homosexual marriage, he brought us below Sodom and Gomorrah. I cannot say any good thing about his voting record. Nothing. And I so appreciate you, as always, filling in. I love it when you're on American Family Radio. So thank you, Matt.
Well, thank you, Lucy. God bless you. You're very kind. I could not agree more. Justice Kennedy, I think, exits stage left, literally, with a shameful record. I can't sit in judgment over him. God will. He'll stand before God, just as we all will, and account for ruling as he did and for his culpability in the continued death of millions of innocent human beings that God created with a purpose, with a mission in life, that mission, that purpose, and those lives were snuffed out for the convenience of women who people who don't want to be saddled with the responsibility for their actions, for the consequences of engaging in sexual behavior. And Justice Kennedy, I agree. I'm not one of these people that are, you know, sending him off with accolades. I'm disgusted by the man, by his rulings on Obergefell, on Roe v. Wade, in voting to uphold abortion at every possible turn. And, you know, but that's between him and God. The good news is he's out of here. And President Trump is going to appoint someone, God willing, who will view the Constitution through the prism of originality, of the original intent of our founding fathers, an originalist, a jurist on the bench. So you're going to hear a lot of stare decisis. You're going to hear that word thrown around a lot. Do you agree that Roe is settled law? Whoever President Trump picks, again, I'm kind of leaning toward myself, Amy Coney Barrett, Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals, 46 years old, Catholic, mother of seven, former Notre Dame law professor, would be just a fantastic pick. Whoever President Trump picks, the left's going to go nuts, and it's going to be World War III. Let's be honest about that. Going now to Calvin. Calvin, welcome to Sandy Rios in the Morning.
Thank you. I just wanted to make the comment. When I heard the news that Justice Kennedy was retiring, I was ecstatic, and it made me realize that my choice of presidential candidate in Donald Trump was appropriate. And here's why. Some years ago, I think this was during President Obama's administration, I remember an Alaskan senator. I can't remember his name. I remember watching him in an interview, and he had made a statement that really shocked me to the core. He said, "I believe we won't have a constitution in 50 years. And he later died in a plane crash. Then when Justice Scalia died under mysterious circumstances, in my opinion, that really made me perk up because I heard that he was a staunch constitutionalist. And then when I heard Donald Trump say on his campaign that the next president is going to seat at least two or three justices, and he said who he would appoint to justice if he was elected. And that really, really made me get conscious and get serious about who I should elect or cast my vote for the next president. And I told my wife, like in 2009, I said, we were watching The Apprentice. I said, if he runs for president, I said, I'll vote for him.
Yeah.
And when all the stuff came up about what he said about women, she said, and what he said about illegals and so forth, she said, would you still vote for him? I said, yes, absolutely. And I'm glad that I voted for him because he's an underdog, and I'm for the underdog. And I think everybody should take notice that we truly have a person in office with all his flaws. Everybody has flaws. He really loves the country, and he really wants to do something for the nation. And when he talked about those justices, that was the cement. That seemed for me.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks for the call, Calvin. And I agree. And I'm the first to admit early on, I was one of the early critics. I supported Ted Cruz. I was an early critic of President Trump, and I did not expect, I thought he was just kind of a liberal New York Democrat in Republican clothing. And he has proven to be the most pro-life, pro-religious liberty president in modern times. There's no question about it. And he is now poised to move this country in a direction to put us back on the narrow path, to put us back toward our founding fathers' vision for this nation as a constitutional republic that defends life, that defends the family, that defends freedom of religion and freedom of speech. He is poised to appoint the fifth deciding originalist vote on the U.S. Constitution. This will shake things up for literally decades to come. It could change the trajectory that we find ourselves on as a nation. And the left is having none of it. Matt Barber in for Sandy Rios. It has been a pleasure. Sandy will be back tomorrow. God bless.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.